It's Shabbat Nassau, and you cannot have missed this morning in the reading as it was being read there so wonderfully by Hannah this morning. If that didn't ring a bell for you, I don't know what will. I reckon that is probably the most famous part, probably outside of the Ten Commandments or Bereshit Bara. You know, that there's one or two bits where we just know those bits. That is definitely one of them. And that was in our portion that Nassau this morning. You heard today, Numbers 6, 22 through to 27, from the Haftarah. You heard from Hoshea, and from the Messianic writings, you heard from the letter from Kepha, the first letter from Kepha, and that was chapter 3, and that was 8 through to 12. Ah, hallelujah. God is good, amen. I've been a real blessing. You know, the worship today was being quite powerful, and I'm really deeply touched and moved by it. There were bits there as we were worshipping today. My skin was beginning to crawl, and the sense of presence of God amongst us was really powerful. And, you know, it's a good thing, I think, when we experience the Lord, we know the Lord, that we have him in our lives in this way. We're transformed back into this walking in the wilderness. And then we all have these times in our lives as well. You know, we have the highest mountains of experiencing the Lord. We also have the valleys that we walk through too. The wilderness times for sure. Each and every one of us. And I'm so blessed really in what we were reading and how we understand the Torah in this way. There's nothing else true. Torah, Judaism is totally humanly dimensional, isn't it? All the bits that we read. I mean, what other scriptures would you think would be including the bits where the people fly off the handle at Moshe and they complain here and they whinge there and, well, we don't want you leading us. You know what, most people, if you were writing a factual account of congregations, I would guarantee you there'd be certain people going, oh, we won't include that bit because that was really hard, wasn't it? And that was painful. And as for that one and this one, and we'll cut all that out. In fact, you would sanitize it, which is frankly what most historians do of countries and nations, sanitize it so it makes it look like it's glory all the way. But our scriptures, the Torah, doesn't do that, does it? It's full of every detail that you can imagine. The ups and the downs, the dissensions, the disputes, the ground opening up on people and the plague breaking out on others. The highs and the lows, even Moshe's sin. You know, if that was me writing it, I'd be thinking, well, I'll maybe cover that bit up about my sin because I can't get in the land, because that's really embarrassing. But it's there. We read about it. It's very, very real, the scriptures. Very humanly dimensional. We're used to thinking about the scriptures in our lives, walking with the Lord in some super spiritual level. But the scriptures are deeply rooted in the here and now. Here. Something about being here, being alive, being a human being in time and space on the planet right now that is really supremely important. This is meant to be something, Judaism. It's meant to be something, Israel. And it's beginning in this portion here. We see the unrolling of this, our historical prophetic calling to be something, to do something, not just to be there, to exist. You know, that's not the point of Israel, to exist. We have a calling, we have a task, we have a purpose. We're here for a reason on this planet. And the Lord called Abraham. It wasn't because he just thought, oh, no, Abraham, you're a nice guy. Come on, you know, well, you can walk with me. We'll have a chat and it'll be fine. He called Abraham because he had something in his life, faith, which meant that God could connect with humanity in this world and begin to do something because he had faith. There's a purpose and a calling in all of this. And what is that? It begins to be clear today, I think. Another aspect of all of this as well. The Aaronic blessing. There it is, right slap bang in the middle of it. The Aaronic blessing. It's a beautiful piece of text. Beautiful piece of prose. You could analyze it grammatically, the Hebrew. You could do all of this and stand in awe of it and wonder of just the amazing fabric of it in many ways. But you know what I'm like? I ask questions. And as much as I love it, I'm in there asking questions. I think I want to know. I want to understand what is going on. What is this Aaronic blessing? What is the purpose of it? And you know, the biggest question of all in all of this, have you ever wondered, because I pondered this as well, have you ever wondered, why is it that the Lord couldn't just bless Israel himself and just get on with it? Why even say to Aaron and bless the people? Maybe the Lord could have said to Aaron, you know what, Aaron, I love Israel so much. I love my people so much. I'm going to bless them. Poof, there we are. I've done it. You are blessed, says the Lord. I have done it. I have blessed you. And God could have done it. And there are times that God does bless us in that way. You know, you get up from your prayer time of a couple of hours or whatever it is that you spend in the morning praying, and you know the blessing of God on your life. You know there's a sense in the spirit that you just know. Praise God that we get that too. You know, that spiritual witness and testimony in our lives that you know God has brought that blessing to you. But here, it's quite clear, he chooses someone, anoints someone to be that person to bring his blessing. God doesn't need someone in that sense, in that way, to stand in the gap to be that person doing the blessing. He could have done it himself. And yet, he calls Aaron to do it. Not just Aaron, the priests too. They bring blessings, priestly blessings. This is the Aaronic. Someone like a priest seems to have to mediate the blessing. Mediate it. Stand in the middle between God and the people to mediate that blessing. What is going on? First key in all of this, we have to be absolutely sure. The priests themselves do not bless the people. Aaron actually isn't blessing the people here. All blessings come from the Lord. They do not come from human hands. All real blessings come from Adonai. So what is Aaron doing? What are the priests doing? They are the ones who transmit the blessing. They transmit it. Channel it. Funnel it. Call it what you want. They are the ones who stand in the middle of the Lord's blessing as the conduit through which that blessing flows and arrives at the people. They transmit the blessing. I want to reiterate it. God does not need a conduit. God is God. He wants to bless you. He can bless you right now. Poof, done. He doesn't need a conduit in that sense. And yet he chooses to use one. God's choice is to select Aaron here to transmit this blessing. And if you dig a little bit behind all of this, let's go back into what the idea of the priesthood is. We get some beginnings of an answer that comes out from all of this, which I think is really encouraging. The priestly caste, the Levites, Kohanim, in all of this, were called and created for a purpose and a task. You know, they were freed from other labour, they didn't have land, they weren't working in the fields, they weren't doing all the other bits and pieces. That priestly caste had one job, to be there for the Lord, to worship, to bring praise, to pray, to bring sacrifices. Their lives were utterly dedicated to the Lord in that way. They had one job, and that's all they had to do. And sometimes you can think about this when you're praying, and sometimes you say, oh, Lord, it's been such a wonderful time of prayer. Lord, I just want to carry on. Can I go all day and do this? I just want to pray all day. Or you're worshipping, and you just get caught up in it. You think, you know what, I'm going to do another hour or whatever. Because you love it so much, because you're in that space with the Lord, and you do not want it to come to an end. And you wish, don't you, that you could give your whole life to do this. And then the phone rings and your boss is going, where are you? You meant to be at work 20 minutes ago. And you go, yeah, but it's okay, I'm praising the Lord, I'm worshipping. I've got to do this, this is really, really important. And your boss will go, yeah, it's really important you're here. You're not going to get paid this month. We'd love to be in that place, I'm sure a lot of us, to be able to just dedicate our lives to do this. And the priests were blessed in this. They were bound to God at all times. To worship and to praise, that was the meaning of their very existence. And thus they became, as it were, in Israel, an unblocked channel, a source of spiritual blessing through which the blessing of God freely could flow to the people. That's their purpose and their task. And already now, we're beginning to see even more questions arising around this when it comes to the transmission of blessing and so on. That God created a body of people who were meant to be walking so closely with him that they would be freely available for God to bring blessing to others. What that shows us, first of all, is that it is possible for us, the rank and file, the Am Ha'aretz, as it were, for us, normal people, to be in a place in our lives where sometimes it is possibly difficult to receive God's blessing. Maybe due to our sin, maybe just downright to our lack of connection with God, we've walked away, we've just minimized him in our lives. There are times and places when we sit there and we think, where is God's blessing? And what it reveals for us through the priestly caste is that God has created a body of people who are around us at that moment to help us receive the blessing from God. If it was just us on our own, we would struggle at times. It would be difficult at times. But we're not meant to be on our own. We're meant to be around others who are able to bless us, whose channels might be more unblocked or available, more open, more attuned to the Spirit of God and his presence. People then who we can lean on to experience that blessing through them. All of which shows us, I think, not just the complicated nature of humanity, who we are and what we are in our lives, which often are car crashes and messed up. We know that is true. That's not the surprising element. The element that is really highlighted through all of this is that God transmits his blessing primarily through people. The people around you, in this case the priestly caste of Israel, who were called specifically for that purpose. God's blessing is transmitted through people. Now, if that doesn't scare you, I don't know what does. Because that means that for each and every one of us, we are meant to be in a position where God's blessing can flow through us. You know, the Torah designates Israel as a nation of priests. Actually, not just the Kohanim, the whole nation is meant to operate in that priestly manner, to mediate the blessings of God from God to the nations, to mediate the presence of God to the nations, to represent the nations back to God. That is one of the roles and the purposes of Israel. And the Messianic writings takes up this idea of the nation of priests. It has a slightly different terminology for it, but it's the same idea, a priesthood of all believers. The scriptures talk about is exactly this idea. As Israel, believers, we are meant to be that nation of priests, which means something. We as the Lord's people are meant to pass on and transmit God's blessing into this world. God wants to bless. But we are the ones who are called to be the transmission of his blessing in that way. Called into this mediatorial role. And we need to take this concept seriously. In the same way as the high priest would bless, transmit the blessing to the people around, so now too should we, Israel, the priesthood of all believers, all of us should be willing and able to transmit that blessing to others. And therefore, on the back of that, if you go back to what I said earlier, our lives should be so clean, so dedicated to God, as that priesthood of all believers, that we are those open channels and conduits that God's blessing can flow through us. When I say it's a scary thought, it should be. Because I suspect that you, me, every single one of us, have those moments in our lives where those channels are blocked and God wants to bless. We find ourselves maybe unable to do so. Because we're not in a place, in a position where we should be with the Lord. But God still wants to bless. God wants to bless others through you. Imagine it. He wants to bless others through you. He wants you to be a blessing to other people. He doesn't want you to be in a place of harm for other people. He doesn't want you to go and harm people. He wants you to be a blessing to people. Wherever you go, neighbours, family, friends, colleagues at work, doesn't matter who it is. He wants you to be a blessing to them. Whichever which way is possible. That really is the Lord's human touch in all of this. To do good to people in that way, to bless them. We should be seeking to bless each other. You know, I can stand here and I can look at some of the things that are happening in your lives, I know, because you sit on the sofa and you tell me. And there are times and places when you can think, well, I don't know, how do I bless, how do I react in this situation? Regardless of whatever is going on in our lives, God has called us to bless. I want to bless you. That is what I will try to do. To do so is to be the Lord in that situation. His feet to run to help, to support. His mouth to bless those around us with words of kindness, words of mercy, words of love. In fact, it goes all the way back, doesn't it, if you think about it, to the very beginning. Genesis 12, 1, 2, 3. Get out of your country, from your kindred, your father's house, to a land I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And then, because God has blessed us, you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. There it is. That's what we're meant to be. That is what Israel is meant to be. It's repeated again in Genesis 18. All the nations become blessed through Israel. As that blessing from the Lord to his people fills us up, we become the conduits of that blessing to the nations and to others. Through Abraham, so through us, flowing out to the world to touch many for salvation. This is our calling. It's our task. This is what we're meant to do. See, God doesn't bless objects. I mean, objects can be sanctified. They can be dedicated to God and the service of God. But he doesn't bless objects. You can't bless the microphone. It's going to make any difference to it. It's a microphone, right? But living things, God blesses. Because he blesses us, we're meant to be the ones who spread that blessing further around. A microphone, once blessed, can't pass that blessing on. It's a microphone. But we can. And that blessing takes all kinds of forms and shapes. Matthew 5, 16. We read it. It's quite interesting how the different ideas around this kind of spiral out of these ideas. You know these verses well, but I'm going to repeat them for you. Matthew 5 and 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your mitzvot and glorify your Father in heaven. By our deeds, by our actions. Positive deeds and actions. It's not talking about how you can hurt people. No, let your light so shine before men. Let your goodness, let your kindness, let your good deeds shine before people that the world around you goes, wow, look at this, we haven't seen this before. And so our Father in heaven will be glorified. It ripples out into all kinds of different directions. Another one that you'll know about. Now you'll know about Hillel's so-called golden rule. Adduced from his statements and said to a potential convert, he said, what is hateful to you, you should not do to your fellow human being. That's the golden rule of Hillel. So it's been brought down to us through the ages, often reduced down to do unto others what you want them to do to you. That's what often people say, isn't it, in common parlance. Do unto others what you want them to do to you. Even that echoes here in Luke 6. And again, here we go. This, it says here, and just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. That's the golden rule. There it is. Yeshua said it. He's repeating what was well known in the first century. If we are going to be a blessing to others, then the blessing we bring to others is to treat them in the way that we ourselves would want to be treated. Now, I know what people say in the world, what goes around comes around. You know, it's been kind of paraphrased even further still. But spiritually, there's a truth in this. If you want to be blessed in the Lord, then bless other people. Because that blessing comes back to rest on you. Be a blessing to other people. Unless you want them to treat you back likewise. The idea comes in again, Proverbs 11:25. This is repeated so often through the scriptures. He who waters will be watered himself. There it is, it's the same principle. It comes out in so many different verses all the way through. A similar idea. And the one, of course, that we heard this morning, which I will just repeat to you because I think it's a really powerful scripture, this. I'm going to repeat it once more. I'm just going to take my time while going through it. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. If you're going to be a blessing to someone, you need to show compassion. What does that mean? That means when someone annoys you or messes stuff up for you and it's annoying or whatever it may be, show compassion. Maybe they're having a bad day. Maybe there's a real problem that you don't know about. Show some compassion. Love as brothers. Be tender-hearted. Be courteous. Do not return evil for evil or reviling for reviling. This is what you give is what you get, you know. Don't, if you're reviled, don't return reviling to it. Bless back. Be a blessing in that situation. And he goes on to say, but on the contrary, he says, don't return evil for evil, reviling for reviling. On the contrary, bless, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. If you are reviled, bless them. Someone hates you, bless them. Oh, this is getting difficult now, isn't it? Because if you don't, you won't inherit the blessing from Adonai. It's here. I've just read it. I'm not making this up. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking guile, deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. I did say it was going to get challenging today. Blessing needs to be our response in every situation. To bless those who curse you. To bless those who hate you. As Yeshua said himself, yes, even our enemies. Because everyone can bless a friend. Everyone can bless someone who likes you. But to bless someone who hates you, that's a sign of someone who is truly able to be a blessing. And that blessing is linked, I think, as a final thought within the Aaronic blessing, the word chanam, which we see there. It's translated as be gracious to you. It's good translation to be gracious. The Lord be gracious to you. That kind of graciousness that we are receiving from the Lord, but also meant to be gracious to each other. Actually, if you track it back through the Septuagint, you end up with a kind of a, not just gracious to you, but show mercy to you. May the Lord show you mercy. Who wouldn't agree with that? Please, Lord, show me mercy. Show us mercy. But we often think that gracious is just being nice or kind. We say, the Lord may the Lord be gracious to you. In that translation, we're not saying, may the Lord just be nice to you. It's not just about being nice. Again, look at what the bigger spread of this word means. It's being merciful. It's being understanding. Being compassionate, empathic. Approaching others without judgment and partiality. All of these ideas are wrapped up in this word. May the Lord be gracious to you. Is that how you want the Lord to deal with you? Yes, I suspect it probably is. You want the Lord to be merciful to you? Yeah. You want him to be compassionate and empathic? I suspect many of you, like me at times, when you've been praying and saying, Lord, I'm so sorry I said X or Y, Lord, I was in a right stink and I'm really sorry I lost it. Please be merciful. Please be empathic towards me. Understand me. I'm sure you've prayed those prayers. We all have. And God is compassionate, empathic and understanding. Because he does see the bigger picture of it all. He knows why we respond in the way we do. How we react in the situations that we react in. He knows why exactly we're doing X, Y or Z. Way more than we ourselves do, let alone other people. But we want God to be like this towards us. And if we want that chanan, that graciousness, if we want that from the Lord in that blessing to us, then that is where we also need to begin to focus on our attitudes and approach to other people too. That's tough, isn't it? If we principally show mercy without judgment to each other, then we truly can be a blessing to each other too. What we discover is, as Yaakov was talking about, being a blessing. He says that mercy triumphs over judgment. Thank God, praise God it does. Mercy triumphs over judgment. We can all run to positions of judgment, of X or Y that we don't like, or this or that. And Yaakov says, mercy, the mercy of God, triumphs over judgment every single time. Thank God it does, or I would not be standing here today. It's the core beating heart of any healthy spiritual community that we're able to forgive each other, not judge each other. Love covers a multitude of sins. Let it. Let it. You're not meant to be at war over each other because of sin or anything else. Because we know, each and every one of us, we know, here by the grace of God I stand. I deserve God's judgment. It wasn't that he reached down and saved me. I have no idea where I would be in my life right now. I wouldn't even want to think about it. I didn't deserve God's mercy at that moment in time. But he saved me anyway. Because his mercy triumphs over judgment. And his love goes on forever. To be a blessing to others means you place yourself in line to receive God's blessing too. We have to receive that blessing. He uses people around you to transmit that blessing to you. Receive it. Be built back up in the Lord, that you can now be in that place where you could go on to start transmitting the blessings around you too. The challenge, I think, today is really, how are we living? Are you blessing others? Are you being a blessing to others, or are you not? Are you actively seeking to bless, or actively seeking harm? We are called to bless, yes, according to Yeshua, even our enemies. People practice this. It is hard. to bless your enemy. But we must bless those who curse you. No one said this walk will be easy in the Lord, but that is what the scriptures say. Because to do so, even in our imperfection, to bless others in this way, really shows that we are the recipients of his mercy and his blessing. Amen.